Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Like the Avengers have assembled here this morning. We have some absolute movers and shakers in the spirit in the room. Pastor Glenn and Lynn and Pastor Kevin and Daryl. Hope I got that right. Furlong. And we also have Pastor Roma and Ted here and an amazing team. So can we give it up for these guys? The Avengers have assembled, and Pastor Roma came and gave me a word this morning, and she said, I believe that God wants to release a powerful anointing in this place like you've never seen before. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I thought, no wonder God's assembled all of the Avengers to come and pray and impart something into us today. I believe that God is going to move powerfully in our altar time. There is a nation-shaking anointing that is in the room that ministers through all of these guys who minister all over the world, and I believe that God wants to bring that, impart that into us today. And also my sister, what's your name? Shawla, my sister who was praying. Oh my gosh, isn't this woman of God so anointed? Wow. When I walked in, you were praying, and I just felt the anointing of heaven in the room, and I just saw like it was like oil just dripping all over you, and I felt the Lord say that you are an oily woman of God, and everywhere that you go, people can't help but get oiled because of the anointing you carry. And so thank you for leading us into the anointing and releasing that anointing here this morning. We honor you as well. But it is such a great honor to be with you, church, today. As Pastor Raph said, my name is Layla, and I am honored to be sharing the word. So I'd love to take us to Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. If you have a Bible, I'd love if you could turn with me there this morning. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1 says this: Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them. And they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. How many believe that there is another king and his name is Jesus? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords today. And he reigns in this place. He reigns in Village Cinemas. He reigns in Doncaster, Westfield. He reigns in Melbourne. And he reigns in the nations of the world. There is another king and his name is Jesus. In this passage of scripture, we hear about disciples that were turning the world upside down. The world recognized them as people who turned the world upside down. There was a clash of kingdoms that happened everywhere that they went. Everywhere they went, they carried the kingdom of God with them. And this morning, I want to use for the subject of my message, carrying the kingdom. Carrying the kingdom. I know that Pastor Raph and the team here have been speaking on the kingdom of God. And I believe this morning that God wants us to be released in carrying the kingdom of God to the world around us. So that everyone in this room, not just the pastors, not the evangelists, not the leaders, but every single person from the front to the back, from the left to the right, would be known as one who turned the world upside down. God wants us to turn the world upside down this morning. God has called us to carry the kingdom of God. When I first ever preached in America, I was preaching in East LA, so not the safest place in the world. And as I was preaching at a church in East LA, I got to the Sunday morning service, and the pastor of the church said to me, Layla, hey, if anyone pulls a gun on you in the service this morning while you're preaching, this is like the pre-service meeting that we're having, don't worry, because we have some plainclothes police officers, and they've got these concealed weapons on them, right? And they're ready for action if anything happens, basically. They were like, they're concealing their weapons. I couldn't see them. And I started to realize as I would go to America that many of my friends actually carried weapons on them. They were concealed. They were hidden. I would never have known unless they told me. And so America has these laws where if you have a weapon on you, there's concealed carry. You have to carry it in a concealed manner. Or there's something else called open carry, when it's out in the open and it's there for everybody to see. And as I was preparing this message, I felt the Lord say to me, Layla, I want to take my church across the world from being concealed carriers of the kingdom of God to being open carriers of the kingdom. God no longer wants us to just conceal the kingdom of God within us, but he wants us to release the kingdom of God through us. He wants to come and release the kingdom of God. He wants us to be open carriers of the kingdom of God this morning. And so I want to share for the next few minutes about four recognizable signs that we are carrying the kingdom of God. What are the four recognizable markers of kingdom carriers? What do we carry? What does it look like to be a carrier of the kingdom of God? The first thing that we see is that kingdom carriers pursue kingdom priorities. Kingdom carriers pursue kingdom priorities. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We see in Luke chapter 12 and verse 31, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall, shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is not withholding his kingdom from his people. He is not wanting some of us to move in power and others of us to lack power. He's saying, I want all of my church, all of my flock, all of my sheep and my lambs, I want them all to carry the kingdom of God from the youngest to the oldest. I was over in Traralgon in Gippsland just over the last few days, came from there this morning, and we had a revival with Pastor Tim Hall. And we saw from the oldest to the youngest people hitting the streets, sharing the gospel. And one of the little girls from a class there, she shared the gospel with her teacher who was an atheist. And she actually saw a healing happen in her classroom. A little girl's leg was healed, and the teacher was like, this is crazy, atheist teacher. And this little girl is sharing the gospel with her entire class and with her atheist teacher. Yeah, let's give it up for that. How good is God that he is releasing young and old, from the oldest to the youngest. God wants to do something powerful in our midst. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how long we've been in the kingdom, or if we're a new believer today, God wants all of us to carry the kingdom of God. And kingdom carriers pursue kingdom priorities. Kingdom carriers seek first the kingdom of God. Kingdom carriers live their lives for an audience of one. They're not concerned with what people think about them or what's expected of them. Kingdom carriers pursue the kingdom of God above all else. That is our number one pursuit as kingdom carriers. I love the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector in the Bible. His life's priorities were all completely out of order. He thought that he had it all together. He thought that he knew how to do life, how to win at life, and he was messing other people's lives up in the process. But he was hungry for an encounter with the Lord. He was hungry to meet with Jesus. And so one day, Zacchaeus meets with Jesus. Jesus comes and has a meal with Zacchaeus at his house. And just just one meal with Jesus, just one encounter with Jesus was enough to turn Zacchaeus's whole life upside down. If you've had an encounter with Jesus this morning, if he's turned your life upside down, can you give him some praise in this room this morning? He has turned my life upside down, and he has given us kingdom priorities, kingdom carriers. Pursue kingdom encounters that transform their lives and the lives of others around them. You see, when Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus, it didn't just change his life, but it changed the lives of every single person that he was connected to. As kingdom carriers, we lay down our own agendas, we lay down our own motivations, and we sink our hearts with heaven's priorities. We say, God, I want to seek you first. I want to pursue you first. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He says, the ones who shake nations are ones who live ever shaken by the one who tore them out of darkness. When we live ever shaken by him, ever desiring to live our lives completely for him, we begin to shake nations around us. We begin to change the world around us. Just like these disciples in Acts 17, we become the ones who turn the world upside down. Control might be comforting, but surrender is satisfying. Surrender is satisfying. Jesus said this, John chapter 4 and verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Church, I believe this morning the only pathway to all of us fulfilling the call and the plan and the purpose of God on our lives is total and complete surrender to him this morning. The second recognizable mark of kingdom carriers is that kingdom carriers receive kingdom insight. Kingdom carriers receive kingdom insight. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, it says this, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So as kingdom carriers, we receive this special insider knowledge from heaven. We are awakened to the mysteries of God. God shares his secrets with us. He speaks to our hearts and he shares the secrets of the kingdom. I don't know if anyone's read the Chronicles of Narnia books, any C.S. Lewis fans in the house, or maybe you've seen some of the movies, the C.S. Lewis movies, the Chronicles of Narnia. The story is basically about these children and their place in the kingdom of God. And it shows them going between this kingdom, this other world, this kingdom, and their own world. And they became the connection point for this kingdom that they were entering. I want to tell us this morning that as kingdom carriers, we are the connection point for the kingdom of God in our world. We are the connection point that the people around us have with the kingdom of God. And I believe that God has called every one of us to bring kingdom souvenirs to the world around us. Kingdom souvenirs. When we go to another country, sometimes we bring back souvenirs for the loved ones around us. And when we bring back those souvenirs from another country, we are allowing the people in this world to have an encounter with that kingdom or with that place. And in the same way, as we bring kingdom souvenirs from the kingdom of heaven, maybe from the secret place in the morning, God speaks to us, God gives us insight, maybe from the word of God, God gives us something, he drops something in our spirit. We have kingdom souvenirs to bring to the world around us. Maybe it's a healing for someone who needs healing in your workplace. Maybe it's a breakthrough for someone who's believing for breakthrough. God gives us kingdom souvenirs that we can deliver to the world around us. We have kingdom insight. One of my friends, he grew up in Melbourne. His name is Adam. And he grew up, he was from a Muslim background. I'm from a Muslim background as well. God radically saved our family. But my friend Adam, he came from a Muslim background. And when he was about 15 years old, his parents split up. And so as a 15-year-old kid, he couldn't deal with this. His life just started to sort of spin out of control. He became very angry, just a chaotic young man. And so he ended up dropping out of school or finishing school, and he ends up just doing whatever he wants to do, just hooking up with whoever, going out to nightclubs, on drugs, doing ice, alcohol, all of this sort of stuff. His life was just an absolute mess. And my friend Adam, he got a job at Melbourne Tullamarine Airport working in airport security, because that's the type of people you want in airport security, right? Off their faces, like not knowing what's going on. Somehow, by the grace of God, he got a job in airport security. And so he's working there, and he had two Christians who were working on his team with them. And so these Christian people, they used to share the gospel with my friend Adam, and they'd share the gospel, and he's like, oh yeah, what do you believe in Santa Claus too? Just mocking them, which I'm sure many of us, if we've shared the gospel with people in our workplace, we know what that feels like. And so they just weren't, he just wasn't having a bar of it, but they just kept showing him love. And so when he'd be out at the nightclubs all night, they'd go and they'd pick him up for work in the morning. And they just did whatever they could to share the love of Jesus with him and share the gospel with him. And one morning, as his life was just falling apart and he just couldn't handle things anymore, he was in the car park of Tullamarine Airport, and he just yells out this prayer to God. And he says, God, if you're real, then prove it. How many of you know that's a dangerous prayer for a Muslim to pray? God, if you're real, then prove it. And so he prays this prayer, and he walks into work that day. He didn't think much of it. He was just angry and just yelling. And so he gets into work that day, and he's sort of doing his job. And someone comes through the security line. And as this man is coming through the security line, they stop and they look at my friend Adam, and they say, excuse me, sir. I'm a Christian, and I believe that God wants to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And he's like, what? Like, this is crazy. Like, you know, didn't tell anyone at that time. Keeps going in his work that day and just thinking about, like, what is this? What's going on in my life? A second person walks through security that day. The second person walks through, looks at my friend Adam and says, hey, man, I'm a Christian. I believe that God wants to tell you that he heard the prayer that you prayed. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Yeah, let's give it up for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And so my friend Adam, he yells out to the other guys. He's like, oi, take me to the priest. I want to become a Christian. And my friend Adam, he has now seen thousands of people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's pastoring a church in New Zealand. I was literally preaching there last weekend, and revival is breaking out in their church. They've connected with Numa Church, and somehow revival has broken out over there as well. And so God is moving. God wants to share kingdom insights with everyone in this room, the mysteries of the kingdom, not just so that we can be puffed up with knowledge, but so that we can change the world around us, so that we can take kingdom souvenirs to people who desperately need to know a God that loves them and has a plan for their life. The third thing that we see from kingdom carriers, the third recognizable sign, maybe if the worship team could join me, is that kingdom carriers assume a kingdom posture. Kingdom carriers pursue a kingdom posture. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, let the little children come to me, and don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as this little child will by no means enter it. The posture of kingdom carriers is childlike faith. We take this posture of childlike faith as we carry the kingdom everywhere that we go. Maturity in the world is about getting older, more independent, and living a life that gains respect. But maturity in the kingdom is about growing younger, becoming more dependent on God, and a willingness to look foolish in the world's eyes. Kingdom carriers, we assume this posture of childlike faith. We believe that God wants to do the great, the impossible in and through our lives. He wants to release the kingdom of God through our world. He wants to show himself real to the world around us. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Benjamin Button. I'm using all these movie references today. It must just be because we're in a cinema. You know, I can't stop thinking of it. But the movie Benjamin Button is all about a man who grows younger as he grows older. And so as he grows in years and he ages in years, his body physically gets younger and younger and younger and younger until he comes to the end of his life. And when he comes to the end of his life, he's this little baby. And the last few scenes, they show him, Benjamin Button, just shedding his clothes from year to year to year as he rapidly gets younger and younger, and eventually he's just in swaddling cloths. No, in the same way as we as kingdom carriers take a posture of childlike faith, we begin to shed things that the world has put on us as we have matured. We begin to shed a cynical mindset. We begin to shed our doubt of God. We begin to shed our pride. We shed our independence and our selfish ambition. We shed all these things that the world is about, and we start to become completely childlike and dependent on our God. As we grow older in God, we grow younger. As we mature in faith, we become completely dependent on God. We assume this kingdom posture. And the fourth and final thing we see, markers of kingdom carriers, is that kingdom carriers release kingdom power. Kingdom carriers release kingdom power. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 says, "But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." Matthew 24 verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." Matthew 9 verse 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." If you want that impartation for healing, we have Pastor Glenn and Pastor Lynn, and I believe that there's going to be an impartation of healing anointing into people's lives today, that we're going to see that kingdom released and come near to people through healing and signs and wonders in our world. Luke chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "He sent them to preach the kingdom of God to heal the sick." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." We have been called to release the power of God as kingdom carriers. I'm so excited because Pastor Raph and the team are going to be sharing about how to release the power of God in March and April, and how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and how to take that Holy Spirit encounter and use that Holy Spirit encounter to actually change the world around us, to release healing and signs and wonders and miracles and words of knowledge and prophecy. God is going to speak into that in March and April. But the very foundational thing that we see on a foundational level of how we activate this release of kingdom power into the lives of everyone around us, I believe, is found in this passage of scripture. Firstly, we know that we pray. So after we pray, what is the first practical thing that we do to release kingdom power into people's lives? Acts 17 verse 2, it says, "As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures." That word "reasoned with them" literally means that he dialogued with them. He had a conversation with them. Releasing kingdom power into the world around us, into the lives of people around us, is as simple as having a conversation with them. I believe that every single person who is far from God is only one conversation away from encountering the real presence of God, from encountering a Savior who knows them, who loves them, who has a plan and a purpose for their life. They're only one conversation away. Maybe it was one conversation that brought you into this room today, that brought you into the kingdom of God, that made you encounter Jesus. I know it was one conversation that someone had with my family. Last year in July, I went to the dentist, and it's never a fun experience going to the dentist. Sorry to say, if there's any dentists here, you're awesome. You probably do a great job, but it's not a fun situation for anyone on the other end of it. I went to the dentist. I had this new dentist in Geelong. I live in Geelong. And I went to this new dentist. I'd moved from Adelaide to Geelong. And so I go to this brand new dentist. And as I'm there, the dentist's making small talk with me. We're having a conversation. You know, I didn't really think like heaven and earth is going to move today. God is going to invade this place. Like, this is kingdom territory, this surgery. I wasn't going around praying in tongues in the dental surgery, nothing like that. But God just invaded our conversation. he starts asking me about my study. I'm doing my PhD in theology. And he's like, why would you do a PhD in theology? Like, why would anyone do that? And we're having this conversation. He's got his hands in my mouth. I'm like, no, I'm doing, you know, God, Jesus, you know, trying to share the gospel with him with his hands in my mouth. And so we're just having this conversation. We're talking about God and the church and theology. And he asked me, what church do you go to? I was like, oh, it's pretty weird. I live in Geelong. We're in Geelong. But I go to this church in Richmond in Melbourne. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from where I was at that time. And I said, yeah, it's called Numa Church. And he goes, no. He's like, I was walking down the street past that church on Sunday. It's Wednesday at the moment. Walking down the street past that church on Sunday, my friend and I went to get banh mi's from Bridge Road. And as we were walking past, we looked in the window and we were wondering what was going on in that place. And we were talking about it. We were talking about the signs. And he's like, do you think that's a coincidence? I was like, no. No, I don't. And before I even had a chance to say anything, he said, do you think I could come to your church one time? And I was like, absolutely. I was flying out to America on Saturday, so I wasn't going to see him. I was like, I'm not going to be there, but I'll give you my friend's numbers or the pastor's and you can come. To my surprise, he ended up coming to church on Sunday. He gets connected, gets saved, gives his life to Jesus. Come on. It trips me out every time I see him in church. He's going along to a life group, got connected to Pastor Joe's life group. For the first time 2 weeks ago, he played guitar at our city campus as part of the worship team. I saw him in one of our prayer and worship nights laying hands on Pastor Simone praying for her. I was like, what the heck? What the heck is going on here? God has changed his life. The kingdom of God came near to him through one conversation. Church, I believe that God wants to stir us up today to believe that God can do more than we think he can. That the kingdom of God is not just concealed within us, but the kingdom of God is ready to be released through us everywhere that we go. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in worship in just a moment. But before we do, can we lift up our hands to God? Just posture our hearts. Lord God, we thank you that we are carriers of the kingdom of God. Every single one in this room, from the front to the back, from the left to the right. God, thank you that kingdom power is not just for the preachers and the platforms. God, the power of God is for every single one of us, God, to go and change the world around us, Lord. We ask you, God, to come upon us in a powerful way, to encounter us, to turn our world upside down today, Lord God, to give us kingdom priorities, God, to give us childlike faith, to help us to release kingdom power everywhere that we go. Lord, we pray that you would move through us as kingdom carriers in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.